Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Of course, election day voting has well underway in the US. Donald Trump, Kamala Harris vie in to become the next US president. And chief correspondent for Feature Story News in Washington, D.C., Simon Marks is with us here on the programme. Simon, what is the atmosphere like in Washington, D.C. today?
Well, I think, Andrea, it's pretty tense and pretty brittle. I mean, a national security emergency event has been declared for this city because, of course, there is fear of unrest and protests. So an enormous law enforcement presence is both going to be visible on the streets and invisible because there are large numbers of law enforcement personnel that have been drafted in from other areas on standby in case they are needed. And of course, the source for the tension are all of these opinion polls suggesting that the race ends pretty much as it began. Absolutely deadlocked between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump.
Yeah. Like it's really a coin toss, isn't it?
I mean, it's extraordinary. Fresh evidence that this is an absolutely polarized 50-50 nation. I mean, even that result that we heard about in the news bulletin from Dixville Notch, like nobody ever normally pays any attention to Dixville Notch because the six folk that live there invariably vote for the Republican nominee. But even in Dixville Notch last night, it was three votes for Trump and three votes for Kamala Harris.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's just impossible. I've got friends, of course, texting me and saying, so will it be Harris or will it be Trump? To which the only answer you can offer is yes.
At this stage, when are we likely over the course of the day? And I appreciate you're joining us from Washington, D.C., but when are we likely to get, a clearer picture of whether it'll be a blue or red wall?
Yes, well, you've actually posed the question in exactly the right way, a clearer picture as opposed to a result. I mean, results will start coming in from about 8 o'clock in the evening here on the East Coast. So that'll be 1 a.m. Dublin time. And, we will start picking up bits of evidence about how the electorate has been feeling from those early results and also from the exit poll data, because there are exit polls taking place that will offer us, I think, a trove of information. It's always a question of how you interpret that information. I remember back in 2016, the exit polls came out and we looked at what people were saying and we said, oh, well, that's it. Hillary Clinton's won it. And of course, she didn't. So you have to interpret it very carefully. I mean, in terms of the final result, we may not get one by tomorrow morning here in the United States. I mean, the Democrats, the Harris campaign chair, was saying yesterday she thinks it could be several days before the outcome of this election is clear. And that's going back to your first question, put a huge strain on the country. I mean, this country is polarized and absolutely exhausted by this election. You've had, 80 million early voters? And one of the reasons for that is because that's half the registered electorate. People just want to get this over and done with. It has been torture for the country.
Yeah, I heard, did the dollar even slip marginally this morning, Simon?
Yes, absolutely. The dollar did slip. And that's partly because Wall Street suddenly has a bit less confidence that Donald Trump's coming back. There's an awful lot of money in Wall Street backing Donald Trump and riding on Donald Trump because they think he's going to be much better for business, far fewer regulations tying them all up in knots, a much more sort of pro-business approach, as they would see it, than they think Kamala Harris is going to take. So I think the realization, and we've seen the same thing in the betting markets as well, the realization that this is not only tight, but also that momentum may in the last week have moved in Kamala Harris's direction after that disastrous rally at Madison Square Garden by Donald Trump, and then the other own goal that he committed last week when he started talking about, wouldn't it be good to see Liz Cheney placed in front of a firing squad? All of that the Democrats think played into Kamala Harris's hands for those Americans who had not yet cast their ballots.
I know everybody's talking about the swing states. I spotted Pennsylvania's preparing for their count. Election staff sworn in just about half an hour ago or so.
Yes. And it's all going to be about the swing states, as it always is. Seven of them, we think, this time around. I mean, I say it's going to be all about the swing states. We think it is. There was that very strange poll on Saturday from Iowa, which is not a swing state, that suggested Kamala Harris had completely erased Donald Trump's lead in the state. I mean, if Kamala Harris starts winning states like Iowa, then the night will be over very early. But if she doesn't, and the polling, the broader polling is correct, it's going to come down really to Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina. North Carolina, Trump has some weakness there. He wants to win it, but there have been local political problems for the Republicans there that may damage him. Michigan, for Kamala Harris, of course, has been a problem because of its sizable Arab American vote. And they don't like the way she and President Biden have handled Gaza. So it's tight.
It's going to be a very long night for you, Simon, and many, many others. But look, in as much as you can, enjoy it. There's no doubt about it. It is a very historic presidential election race. That's Chief Correspondent for Feature Story News in Washington, D.C. That's Simon Marks with us here on Lunchtime Live. Trump, of course, is going to be in Florida for an official watch party. Our own reporter, Josh Crosby, is there too. He set himself the task, though, of trying to get in to Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort. Let's see how he got on.
Hello. I'm from Ireland. I'm trying to get to Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort. Are you going that direction?
Technically, you need the 41.
The 41. Will you not bring me somewhere towards the bridge, no?
You see that light right there?
Yeah.
When I get to that light, I make a right turn.
Okay. Thanks very much. On to the next place.
If at first you don't succeed, try and try again. I was actually on the right bus, but I just needed to name the nearest stop rather than the resort itself. So while I wait for the next number one, I got talking to Shep, who lives near the Mar-a-Lago resort.
Hi there, how's it going? I'm just here from Ireland. I'm trying to get to Mar-a-Lago. Am I going in the right direction?
Yeah, you gotta take the number one south, all the way to southern, and then go west, run right into it.
Okay, because I got on the number one, but the bus driver, I think he thought I was trying to get there directly, so he sent me on to a different one. But no, I think I need to get the one and just get down that way.
Right.
And do you live down near there yourself?
Yes, I do. I live right on the water.
And what's it like living near Trump's residence?
I like it. I moved here from St. Pete. I like it over here.
And down near Mar-a-Lago, like, is it not full of security and press and photographers and...
Especially this time of year, yeah.
Do you think I'll be able to get in? Will I have any chance at all?
Not a chance.
Well, look, fingers crossed. Let's hope for the best.
There you go.
Well, hopefully this bus coming now will get me some bit close.
Yes.
Hi there. You're going down to Southern Boulevard? Yeah, that's across the bridge from Mar-a-Lago, is it?
I just know this bus is going to Southern Boulevard.
Okay. Can I pay? How much is that?
Just put in a dollar.
A dollar. A dollar. Yeah.
Might want to put the address in.
Okay.
So I don't have far to go to my stop, and then it's a short walk over a drawbridge, and then I should be pretty close to Trump's resort. But how close will I get remains to be seen.
I think I'm getting out the next stop anyway.
All right, man.
Yeah, I think I'm nearly here.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, hopefully. Thank you. Okay, so I'm some bit closer now. I can see the bridge that arches over the lagoon and then right in to Mar-a-Lago. Were you on that bus as well?
Yeah.
The reason I got the bus, I'm trying to see how far I can get to Mar-a-Lago. Now, I know I'm not going to be allowed in, but I just want to see how far I can get.
I'm curious to know too. It's just over the bridge. There's a little tiny bit of an island within the intracoastal.
Okay.
And then Mar-a-Lago is just right there.
And what do you think my chances are of getting in?
I don't think you stand a very good chance. But, I mean, it's a presidential election and all of that. These stops here are recent.
Okay.
They're only since the shooting.
Okay, okay. So security has been ramped up here, has it?
Security got ramped up after that shooting. We haven't tried to drive by there, but it just doesn't look like it's going to be convenient to try.
Okay, well, look. Wish me luck.
Good luck.
What strikes you first when you're approaching the Mar-a-Lago estate, which Donald Trump has designated as his primary residence since 2019, is the security set up around it. And this is expected, especially following the assassination attempt at the nearby golf course in September. From robotic dogs to watchtowers, it wasn't very long before I was stopped.
How's it going?
So you can walk to the end of the bridge and then you gotta come back.
Okay. Yeah.
That's where it cuts off.
Right, yeah, that's
what... Secret Service is gonna...
Yeah.
Okay.
I just said I'd come down and check it out.
You by yourself or you have a camera?
No, I'm by myself.
Okay. You can walk along the bridge.
Yeah, and I'm able to go that far at the end, and then I can stop there, yeah?
You can stop there.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm not going to be able to get in.
No.
Thank you, cheers.
Right, so I can get some bit closer to the gate, but unfortunately, I don't think I'll be getting a look inside to see how it compares to Doonbeg today, as I'm stopped again at the gate.
This is as far as you can go, is it?
Hey, yeah, you gotta get back.
Yeah, okay. No, I just, my first time here.
You're good. Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Just from Irish radio. No way of getting in, no.
No, not even a little bit. Not even worth the joke.
I'm certainly not the only one trying to get a glimpse at some of the Trump team who may or may not be entering Mar-a-Lago. There's media from all around the world set up here with the famous resort in the background. So let's see if they had any luck.
Hi, I'm Gerard Soria. I'm TV producer of the Catalan television in Barcelona. And we are covering this this event because it's very important for us.
And you've traveled to the US especially for the election, like myself?
Yes, I do. Yes, we've been here for like 2 weeks ago just to do all the videos for the night elections. And now we travel today to Palm Beach just to cover the night elections and to do a special program.
We're literally looking over at Trump's Mar-a-Lago. Have you tried to get close to it?
Yeah, we've been there, but it's there's a lot of police. We cannot stop anywhere. And it's very difficult to reach. To see where can we do our lives, and now we are here in the middle of the bridge.
Yeah, so I tried to walk over and I was stopped, hands up, police, no, you can't go any further. Have you seen any of Trump's team access Mar-a-Lago today?
No, we have seen anybody. We expect to find a lot of people, but there's nobody here in Mar-a-Lago. And
but there's no one to look at. It's just a building.
Yeah, just the building and the media, because I think that is very important for the whole world, these elections. We don't see anybody.
Yeah. All eyes are on Palm Beach today.
Yeah.
As I head back over the bridge to catch my bus again, the sounds of beeping horns draw my attention. Could it be Trump arriving, or has the election campaign entered its final phase? It turns out the Palm Beach Young Republicans are holding a flag-waving ceremony as a rallying call to get people out to vote.
Rachel Jones, I'm from Asheboro, North Carolina, and I came down to Florida for golf.
You take it pretty seriously?
I do, yes. I played on the Symmetra Tour, so a professional tour.
And have you got to play in Trump's golf course?
Yes, I played Trump Jupiter, Trump International, Trump Westchester. Yeah, all of them are great.
What about Trump Doonbeg?
I haven't played that one yet. I need to get there, yes. I played some other courses in Ireland. Tralee, Ballybunion, Old Head, a few others, K-Club.
So what's taking place here now at the moment?
We have a little rally with the Palm Beach Young Republicans, so we just want to come out and support Trump.
Trying to get everyone who hasn't gone out to go out and vote, make their voices heard. Let's take our country back.
What's a flag ceremony? We don't usually have these in Ireland.
You know, we really didn't really have these before either. It's just over the last couple cycles, it's just happened. You know, we're really trying to make it cool to be Republican again. You know, over the last couple decades, it's been kind of frowned upon, but we're taking the steps to, you know, kind of bring a youth movement to it.
The MAGA movement has changed.
Yeah, you know, it's a whole new Republican Party. It's not your grandma's Republican Party anymore, you know? It's more of a hip thing, you know?
And we're not far from Mar-a-Lago. Have you ever been in there yourself?
Oh, yeah. It was actually my first time last Wednesday. Beautiful place.
Did you play around the golf?
No, I wish. I'm not that cool.
What's it like inside?
It's almost like, you know, one of your super cool museums that you have in Europe, you know, where everything's just super gaudy, super like, super nice.
So my attempt at getting into Mar-a-Lago didn't quite go to plan, but it was an eventful trip all the same. Trump is having an official election watch party later today, so that's the next mission. Try and get access to that to see who will be the next President of the United States of America.
Yeah, Josh Crosby there, of course, in his best effort to get into the Mar-a-Lago resort. Our chief reporter, Barry White, has been finding out about the main issues for young voters, specifically at the University of California in Berkeley.
The University of California here in Berkeley is one of the biggest universities in the United States. There are over 45,000 students here, and in a few hours' time, many of them will be voting for the first time ever, while others have already cast their votes. There was a large queue here last night at the ballot drop box on campus. So, who are students voting for and what are the big issues for them?
I voted for Kamala Harris just because she puts women's rights at the forefront of her campaign and she's a person who's not homophobic and who cares about the young people of this country and our futures, which is something that's really important to me as, I mean, this is the first election that I'm voting in, so I feel like those decisions are important when deciding who I'm going to be, who's in the presidency for the next 4 years.
Your first time voting, yes. Did it feel like a big moment?
Yeah, it definitely felt like a big moment. I feel like I'm exercising my right to democracy for the first time, and that's really empowering as well.
Now, you voted for Kamala Harris, but do you think she'll win? Do you think she'll be the next US president?
I mean, I want to be optimistic and say yes, but we'll see tomorrow how that goes. I don't know. The rest of the country, living in California, I feel like it's somewhat of a bubble because we do live in a blue state, but we'll see how it all ends up tomorrow. It's a little nerve-wracking.
What do you think a Donald Trump presidency would mean for the United States?
I think we'd be going back in history. A lot of the old ways that we tried so hard to abolish over the last like however many years, you know, just like taking back women's rights, taking back people of color's rights, and going back to a history that we shouldn't necessarily align with anymore. Yeah, and just taking back a lot of what we fought so long for this country to have, the rights that we've fought to have.
I also voted for Kamala Harris, yeah. Reproductive rights is a huge thing for me. And then, I mean, I also think character. I mean, I'm looking at who's going to be leading this country, and I want someone who's going to be honest with the American people, who's not going to spread lies and also not threaten democracy.
Do you think Kamala Harris will win? Do you think she will be the next US president?
I hope so. I feel like if not, you know, this country could definitely take a turn for the worst. So,
do you fear Donald Trump presidency then when you say it could take a turn for the worst?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I think whether or not we'll still be able to vote in the future, whether or not, you know, democracy will be upheld, I question that a lot, yeah.
Oh, well, for me, I voted for Kamala Harris. For me, one of the biggest decisions that was the woman's right to choose. That was sort of the main issue. Also, tax cuts for the rich. I believe that sort of more progressive tax system, so therefore, Kamala Harris is also kind of who I voted for. Those are probably two main reasons for me.
What do you think of Donald Trump?
His comments are offhanded, to say slightly, but no, definitely some of the comments are bigoted, racist, and I would say misogynistic.
You voted for Kamala, but do you think she'll win? Do you think she'll be the next US president?
I don't think so, actually. I think Trump's gonna win. Just like, it's not what I want, of course, as a Kamala Harris supporter, but that's what I think's gonna happen.
I have not voted yet. I'm gonna vote tomorrow. I actually have not decided, but I would say I don't think Kamala Harris is going to win either, just because like historically the media and the polls here really favor the Democrats, and I think in the swing states it may not actually be as close as they say it is. In terms of key issues for me, I would say Israel-Palestine, the economy, and immigration are issues, but I think neither of the candidates really address Israel-Palestine better than the other. Neither of them are willing to like push Israel to stop oppressing Palestinians.
Does that almost make you not want to vote for Kamala Harris or Donald Trump?
I have some friends who have left the presidential slot blank because they feel like neither candidate really represents their views.
Meanwhile, there are some students here who are voting Republican, although they are hard to find on the University of California campus. Utkarsh Jain is a student here and a Republican, and he thinks Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States of America.
I would say we're seen as more of aliens, you know, on this campus. Some people that have come from a faraway land don't seem to fit in. But that's the nature of being here in the Bay Area as a Republican.
And what's it like being a Republican here then on this campus, in this city?
Yeah, no, it's as I mentioned, it's really tough. It leans to the, I mean, people would know being in this area, it's tough to speak what you believe in when 90% of the people believe in the opposite. So it's definitely not conducive to this campus, but we continue to fight the good fight and really deliver and persuade people to come to our side because we believe that's what's right and that's what will be good for the country.
What do people say to you then when you tell them you're a Republican here?
Yeah, no, it's tough. We experience a lot of backlash for sure. A lot of us lose friends when we tell them that we're conservative. We also get a lot of tables flipped over when we go out and table out on the front campus. And just a lot of people not wanting to engage with you.
Look, obviously you're voting for Donald Trump. Why do you think he's the best person to be the next president of the United States?
Yeah, no, it's. I think I'd tell people, you know, look at the past 4 years of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and, you know, pick your pick, right? Who have you performed under the best? And I believe that most people in this country, most of the middle class for sure, but I think the overall populace has done a much better job economically, financially, and socially when Mr. Trump was president 4 years ago. And so I believe he's the right choice for this time. And I believe, frankly, he's the right choice for us to continue this wonderful country going, because I think under 4 years of Kamala Harris, we will see not only much of the same, but maybe even more radical policies than what Joe Biden has already given us.
Barry White reporting from Berkeley, California.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.